Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, as you know, on this program, we only talk about politics so we can explore society, and we explore society so we can talk about principles and the people who actually live them. And we're going to do that for the rest of this hour. We're going to get into some really core principles that apply in communities, in companies, in countries, apply to you. So just settle in. You're going to be thrilled, amazed, and inspired a bit as we have a conversation with our friend Chester Elton, who is just a powerful voice in workplace trends. He co-leads the Culture Works, spent two decades helping clients engage in their employees to execute on strategy, vision, and most important, values. He's a best-selling author, and we'll get into a lot of those things as we go along. But I want to start in this one space. And first, Chester, welcome to the show.
Listen, Boyd, delighted to be talking to you again. When we met at the summit, it was more fun than humans should be allowed.
That's right. The Kindness Summit, which was just a couple of weeks ago now in the rearview mirror up at the University of Utah. Of course, Khosrow Simnani and his group, One Kind Act a Day, or thepowerofkind.org. It was an amazing day through and through. And one of the prizes I took away was a connection with Chester. And Chester, I want to start today with something that has been very central in all of your work. And I want to tee it up with one of my favorite quotes. It's from William George Jordan. It was written back in 1902. And he wrote, "Ingratitude, the most popular sin of humanity, is forgetfulness of the heart. The individual who possesses it finds it the shortest cut to all the other vices." You've done a lot of work around gratitude. So let's start with the ingratitude portion. And then how do we get to the gratitude space?
Yeah, you know, I really agree with that. You know, ingratitude, and it seems to be more and more pervasive these days when we have this spirit of entitlement and so on, where, you know, people owe me something, and I don't have to say thank you. I don't have to be gracious. And it does lead down to other vices of being selfish, of being self-centered, of being less altruistic. It's one of the reasons that I was so honored to speak at the summit and the One Kind Act today. And the Simnani Family Foundation, that is all about giving and giving back to the community, and this idea that one kind act a day can change the world. I was really inspired to see so many people at the University of Utah, you know, take the pledge. You know, the president of the University of Utah said, "I want the University of Utah to be the epicenter of educational kindness." Yeah. I mean, President Randall, yeah, I mean, how great was that?
Yeah, it was amazing all the way through. And as you've looked at how you apply that principle of gratitude, of course, your book, Leading with Gratitude, is something everybody ought to pick up. It's just a fantastic read. So tell us about your work in terms of creating that kind of focus, that kind of culture within an organization.
Well, here's the thing that's really interesting, Boyd, is that Adrian Gostick is my co-author, lives just outside Park City there in Utah. And we've taken a look at 1 million engagement surveys. We have a database of over 1 million engagement surveys. We've written 15 books on culture and leadership and so on. And we look at what's best in class, like who are those that really are way above the norm as far as innovation, employee retention, customer loyalty, and on and on and on, all the indicators in business that you want to have. And what we found that was so encouraging, Boyd, was that the common thread was always gratitude, that they kept people at the center of everything they did. We talk about a culture that where people believe what they do matters and they make a difference, right? My values, my principles align with the company. I believe that what I do is important, that it matters. And then I make a difference. Right? And making a difference for our customers, for our communities, for each other in the company. And it's really interesting. And then we add to that. And when I make a difference, it's noticed and celebrated. And when you look at it that way, and I want to make this point right up front, because people that are listening to this are going to say, yeah, I get the soft stuff. I get the nice to have stuff. It's nice to be nice. But what about the bottom line?
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line shows that when you do these things, it's not a soft skill. It's a hard skill. And it's not a nice to have. It's a must have. And if you do it, your results are better. Your return on equity is higher. Your retention is higher. Your customer loyalty is higher. And so it's a bit of a mystery to me and you both, I know, that more people don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so amazing because it is. It's the seemingly simple, the seemingly insignificant stuff that happens every day that really does make the big difference in the end, and ultimately creates this kind of culture that isn't just about gratitude, although that's the driving force in so many ways, but it actually has this spillover effect into the customer service, into the creativity, into the ability to engage and solve difficult problems. And so walk us through, how do we start doing that? What are some of those little things we can begin to do to make that a reality?
You know, I love this question because I'm a huge fan of symbols and rituals, right? And companies that have in their day-to-day practice, simple little rituals. For example, wonderful company up in Canada, they've got a 10 and 10. Just 10 minutes at the beginning of the day, 10 minutes at the end of the day. Checking in with your people at the beginning of the day, welcoming them to work, talking about what we've got to get done and so on. And then at the end of the day, checking in and saying, hey, how are you doing? Really appreciate a good day's work. This was great. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. This idea that, you know, when you wake up in the morning that you're excited to go to work. I get to go to work. I don't have to go to work, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful hospital down in Dallas. They have a thing. It's a faith-based hospital. They have what they call the Sacred 60 with all their executives. For 1 hour a day, they leave their phones in their offices, their laptops and everything, and they make their rounds and they talk to their employees. And how's it going? How's it going at home? How's it going at work? Do you have all the resources you need? This human connection. So if you can establish some simple rituals, start your day, end your day, have that time in the middle. And then my favorite one is a manager down in Dallas, Texas, for Avis Budget Rental Car. Wait for this. You'll love it. He puts 10 pennies in his left pocket every day. And he says, I want to have 10 positive interactions with my people, not just pointing out what's going wrong, but pointing out what's also going right. And he moves a penny from his left pocket to his right pocket. And his results are phenomenal. So I would start there. Find a simple ritual and make it part of your everyday routine.
Yeah, I love that. And whether you're walking around your business or whether you're walking around your neighborhood or your school or your family, for that matter, I think it all adds up and goes the same way. One of the things that I loved about your presentation up at the Kindness Summit was the fact that it was all about an authentic approach to all of this. This is not rah-rah. This is not syrupy, gooey things that people can say, oh, you know, here's this kind of appeasement strategy or, you know, someone just kind of patting me on the head. But talk to us for just a second about how do we get to that authentic space and be able to invite those that we lead into that space.
Yeah, you know, it is so interesting that authenticity, because a lot of people will say, well, I'll do that, Chester, you know, but they'll know I don't mean it. Well, you know, well, start here. Why don't you try meaning it? Let's start there. We do give some fun tips on that. And first is that if you're going to express gratitude for whatever behavior it is, do it now. I mean, do it right now. Primacy, recency. You know, if you think you're going to remember at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the quarter, you won't. You know, we've got stuff going on. We get busy. The second is do it now and be specific. Yeah. Now, that brings in sincerity, right? General praise, we say, has no impact. But if you say, hey, I really like what you did with that customer that came in that had a problem and they were worried about it and you calmed them down and you know, they skipped out of here. That's a customer for life. So, you know, that specificity makes it very sincere, right? Yeah. As opposed to, hey, great job, great job. And then do it often. And, you know, we had a lot of fun at the summit with this because people will say, yeah, but if you do it too much, you know, it'll become trite and people will get big heads and it loses its impact. And I always say, to your point, in your personal life, you know, if you've got a great relationship, how often do you tell your spouse or your kids or a dear friend how much you love them? And can you hear that too much? Well, no, because it's frequent and it's specific and it's sincere. And, I always have a lot of fun with that because we'll call somebody out of the audience. And, you know, inevitably somebody says, oh, I tell my husband I love him, you know, 5 times a day. And I go, that's 1,500 times a year. You got to be kidding me. That's way too much.
Over your quota.
Right.
Those are powerful pieces. We're going to stay with the conversation here with our friend Chester Elton. And when we come back, we're going to look at some of the other things happening inside society and inside the workplace, dealing with some of the anxious, anxiety-driven things that are happening, and how do we navigate those a little bit better together. Stay with us. More Inside Sources coming up next on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
Hear elevated conversation on crucial issues. Boyd Matheson on Inside Sources.
Well, welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It is great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson, and we're staying with the conversation just a little bit longer as we further our conversation with Chester Elton, best-selling author, extraordinary speaker, trainer, leader, coach, who understands what culture is all about. And you've heard me say it on this program a lot. I believe culture eats strategy for breakfast. It can overcome lack of talent, all kinds of things, if you have the right culture. And Chester, as we pick up this conversation, I want to get into this whole culture thing because there are a lot of people that are dealing with anxiety, and that often inhibits not only just individual performance, but also that culture gets impeded with that as well.
No question. You know, it's really interesting, as Adrian and I took a deep dive on this, it was because of his son, Anthony Gostick, who came to us and said, you know, you guys talk about culture and leadership and everything. Do you ever talk about mental health? And we looked at him and went, no, why would we do that? You know, I'm at the end of the baby boomers. Adrian's at Gen Xer. And our generations were, hey, rub some dirt on it, get back in the game, you know, turn that frown upside down. When I was playing sports, if somebody got knocked out, we thought that was hilarious.
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
yeah, give them some smelling salts, send them back in. And this was a real wake-up call for us because he said, you know, you oldies, which is a great title, right? You oldies, you don't talk about this, but my generation, we start every conversation with, how are you doing? And what we mean is, how are you managing your mental health? Mm. And we looked into it because, you know, our solution was always, look, just calm down. And then, you know, one of my favorite quotes of all time, and I know you love quotes, Boyd, is that never in the history of calming down has anybody ever calmed down by being told to calm down. So it got really interesting. And I just want to give your listeners a couple of numbers really quickly. But pre-pandemic, about 18% of employees said they had some kind of anxiety disorder. Now, everybody gets anxious, but a disorder is, it keeps me from doing my job. To your point, it crushes productivity and so on. Well, by 2022, and the numbers haven't changed through 2023, that jumped to 30%. Think about that. It's almost a third. But 42% of workers in their 20s. So very much a generational divide. And then with retention, 50% of millennials, 75% of Gen Z said they have left the job due to mental health. And the reason is only 10% of employees feel safe talking about it.
Yeah.
So it's this hidden killer of productivity, of retention and innovation. And yet it's not safe to talk about. And let me ask you, Boyd, why do you think it's not safe? Why do employees not feel safe talking to their supervisors about mental health?
I think it's two parts. One is that fear of either being seen as less than, not up to the task, and so they don't want to function from a position of weakness. I think some of it is that we aren't comfortable with uncomfortable conversations or know how to talk in a way that's forward moving and not showcasing, hey, I'm not up to this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's still this huge stigma. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you go skiing up at Alta or whatever, and you wrench your knee or sprain your ankle, and your boss goes, oh, geez, you don't take care of that. Get some PT, you know, come back when you're ready. Somehow when we say, you know what, I'm just overwhelmed. I need a mental health day. We're afraid the reaction is going to be, like you say, less than weak, not mentally tough.
Yeah.
And it is so interesting, right? Because Robert Half just published recently that 91% of employees feel burned out or somewhat burned out right now. And it's because we're afraid to take that time off. And boy, the leaders that understand this and give their people a little grace and give them a little room, boy, they attract great talent and they keep it. And the best way to do that, and it's not easy, is if leaders can be a little bit vulnerable and can share their story. Like, I know in all the jobs you've had, and you've had big time jobs, you know, with politicians and rebranding and all this fun stuff, that there have been times when you've just said, hey, I got to get some sleep. You know, I got to take a day. And if you can share that story with your employees, it makes it safe for them to share their stories. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It's that courageous vulnerability so that we can have those conversations. That's one of the things that I love. Another one of Chester's books that you need to pick up is Anxiety at Work. It really goes through all the ins and outs of how we navigate this in a different way, create that supportive environment. And it has nothing to do about group hugs, rose-colored glasses, or glasses that are half full or half empty. And it has nothing to do with lowering the standard of excellence in the process. I think, to the contrary, whether it's your book Anxiety at Work or Leading with Gratitude, this is all about getting to a position of strength so that you can do more, be more, and become more individually and together.
Exactly. In fact, the subtitle of our book is, you know, how do you deal with uncertainty and ambiguity, how you build resilience. And the last part I really love, and get stuff done.
Yeah.
Like, we've still got to get stuff done,
that's
right?
That's right.
And that's really important. I'll tell you what's really interesting. And, you know, before the break, we talked a little bit about gratitude. We have 8 strategies in the book to help you deal with it. You know, whether you have a perfectionism complex or uncertainty is the biggest driver. You know, I just don't know what's going on. You know, the pandemic, of course, heightened all of that. We weren't sure what we could do or when we could do it. But the 8th practice is my favorite. Again, we talk about this common thread in great cultures of gratitude. And we talk to these, we have a podcast, Anxiety at Work, and we interview business people and counselors and psychologists. And they all talk about the fact that you can't hold 2 emotions at the same time. Mm. And again, these rituals, if you have a gratitude ritual, you can't be in a state of gratitude and a state of anxiety at the same time. We had a guest on our podcast, and she gave a great summation, because we always ask, what are your personal practices to manage your anxiety? And she said, it's move, meditate, and journal. Isn't that interesting?
Love that.
Get out and get some exercise. Take some time, whether it's prayer or meditation or whatever. And then reflection, write it down.
Yeah.
And those 3 things. And I'm interested. I know we're going to run out of time here, but I'd be really interested, boy. What are your personal practices to manage your anxiety? You're in a high-stress job.
I just don't acknowledge that it's a high-stress job. It's just we're just chatting with friends. For me, it is the disconnect. For me, it's the stillness. It's a little bit of very quiet music. It's a chance to just think. And also to read, whether I'm reading history or whether I'm reading a book like yours, which I spent a lot of time on last night. It's getting something that re-energizes, recharges those batteries, that kind of resets everything for me.
Yeah, yeah. We actually, our latest book, I'm really proud of it. It's we self-published it because we use it in our coaching practice, is The Gratitude Habit. It's a 90-day journal. How do you start your day? How do you end your day? And, you know, you always talk about how do you bring it home to your neighborhood and to your family. My wife and I have a lovely ritual at the end of the day. We say, what are your 3? What are 3 things you're grateful for today?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, studies have shown that if you end with that calm and you're in that state of gratitude, you sleep better, your relationships are better, and it gives you that positive outlook in a world that bombards us with negativity every day.
Great stuff. If you missed any part of the last 2 segments of the show, you're going to want to go to the podcast. Go to kslpodcast.com this afternoon. We'll post it all there. You can get the deep dive. You can also go, if you want more of Chester's work, go to thecultureworks.com, thecultureworks.com. The Gratitude Journal, Leading with Gratitude, Anxiety at Work, all of the resources are there. Chester, thanks so much for making time for us today and giving us a little energy back on a Friday. Great to have you.
Yeah, great to be with you, and really grateful for the work you're doing. Great. Keep it up, and anytime you want me back, the answer is yes.
All right, game on. We're going to hold you to that. Chester Elton, just an extraordinary voice, great leader of leaders, great influencer, great writer, and some great resources for all of us to get into that gratitude space, lessen the anxiety space, create a culture, whether it's in your family, your community, your corporation, or this wonderful country called the United States of America. We all have a role to play. We all need to lean in and engage. That wraps it up for us. Hour number 1 of Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. We'll step aside for some top of the hour news, but don't go anywhere. Jonah Goldberg is going to kick off the 2 o'clock hour with this. We'll be right back.
KSL-FM Midvale.
KSL Salt Lake City.
From the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios, this is KSL News Radio.
Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.